Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. For a great shave at a great price, join Dollar Shave Club. New members get their first month of the Executive Razor and a tube of Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/android. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 327. It's recorded on Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell. Oh, I don't even know what to do because I didn't hear Ron. What'd you say?
I can't.
Said I'm Ron Richards.
Oh, there we go. Okay,
and
sorry.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, you guys? Sorry.
I apologize. Apologize for that. I'm on the road, so.
Yeah, I think you're okay. Yeah, you're also very yellow. Are you yellow?
Well, no. It's hotel lighting. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Ron has been eating a lot of carrots.
Something. I don't know. It keeps changing, but that's okay. I like it. It keeps me on my toes. It's kind of psychedelic. good to be sitting down with you guys again. How'd things go last week? Welcome back.
Welcome back. We missed you. It was very stressful, but we pulled it off.
Yes, we did. We did.
You did awesome. Thanks. It's good to be back. Slightly sunburned, but you know that's what you get when you go on a family.
Are you sunburned?
My back. I feel like I need to invent a way to put suntan lotion on my back.
That's what children are for.
I know, but sometimes they're already swimming, you know? They're already out there having
no
fun.
Swimming until you put sunscreen on daddy's back.
No, I don't think I need to put my children through that, to be honest.
Awkward.
On second thought, I'll just take the sunburn. Joining us, it's been a while since we've had you on, Francisco Franco, but we are delighted that you are carving hours from your sleep to join us tonight.
I missed the show, so... Let's go.
Now, let's go. So before we get into this, you sent me a link right before we got in here. It was a tweet from Liam Spradlin, who has also been on the show many times. And I think the last time was on with you. He now works for Google. So he has been, brought into the mothership.
Exalted.
Yes. Unfortunately, he probably won't be on the show very much anymore unless Google lets him. Anyways, he sent you a tweet that said, I think this episode should be called Franco Cares After All. Because if you remember, I'm sure you remember, Francisco, but the last time you were on, you had a very opinionated approach on Android, and I think more specifically Samsung. You even told me that you still get emails and tweets about this to this day. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what was the episode about, but it was something about the Samsung phone, Note 6, maybe 7, S6. I don't know. So you guys were talking about the phone, and I said I didn't care anything about what Samsung was doing. because the way they were changing Android, and I was so blunt that even today I still get emails and tweets about I'm a bad person because I shouldn't say those things. I read that even this week on Reddit. So
really,
now I have a S8 here.
How things do evolve.
Wow, so it's still that's popping up on Reddit two years later. This was, by the way, this was August 19th, 2015. So almost 2 years to the day.
Yeah, because
just shy of that.
Maybe I'm arrogant or something. That's what they were saying, so.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that has tracked you now for 2 years online. We're going to right the wrong. We're going to show people how much you do care today. if that's okay.
Let's go.
All right. It's great to have you back. Of course, you actually just released an app, which we're going to show off later. You're going to bring that into the arena, and I've got it installed on my phone. But cool stuff there. It's really great to have you back, and thank you again for taking time out of your sleep to join us. I'm always amazed that folks do that for us, so thank you for doing that.
It's a pleasure.
So we have a lot of news to talk about. We're going to be discussing the release candidate of Android O. Maybe not so much to talk about there, but it exists, and we have news on that. OnePlus's 911 emergency of its own, the new Moto Z2 Force, Samsung Bixby headphones, potentially. We'll see if anyone here cares about that. You guys discussed the Nokia 8 last week. We're not going to talk about that, but we will talk about motion stills by Google, which is a new app that Google put out. I think it's kind of neat. Played around with it a little bit more. And so much more. Brian, I hope you care about the news.
Oh, you know I care, Jason, because I'm here every week. And we also know Francisco cares. So let's get into Android news.
Oh, it's going to be a long episode if we don't let this one go.
He's patting himself on the back for being here every week, except when he's not.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, jeez.
We got to take a day off every once in a while.
Let's move on. Hey, all right, so Jason mentioned Android O is getting closer and closer to release. In fact, the developer preview for the release candidate was released just yesterday. Dave Burke said that this is the final preview before the official launch. And Android engineers even had a Reddit AMA last week where they, you know, took all the questions from all the loyal Redditors and some stuff that came out of that. Bluetooth audio for Pixel devices will be improved with Android O. Android O for Wear will be more technical in scope, battery preservation, and tools for better complications and UIs. And Google's aware of 120 hertz video rendering like the iPad Pro's ProMotion with adaptive refresh, and they've been thinking about doing it for years. And then finally, Project Treble was insanely difficult to engineer into Android O. So that confirms the wondering about Project Treble.
Yeah.
Android O is, you know, it's impending release candidate. This is very exciting. Francisco, have you had a chance to play with Android O, the developer preview yet?
Yeah, I installed it yesterday for the first time. So I don't have much to say. It looked pretty much the same as before. A little bit speedier, I think, on the Pixel. There are some changes in the background that I notice, but they are kind of techy to talk about here, I guess. But it looks okay. So, well, for apps, nothing really changes for developers for a while until every OEM changes updates their devices. So, to be honest, I don't really care too much until.
There we go. We need a tally.
We found something
at this point.
Doesn't care.
It only took us one story to find something Francisco doesn't care about today.
I'm being honest. Until there are many OEMs changing, updating their devices to O, nothing will really change. So,
yeah.
And 6 months from now, ask me again.
Well, so I mean, as from the developer standpoint, though, I feel like, you know, time and time again. I know we talk about as users that we expect that developers are getting in there as soon as they have access to the new version of Android so that they can get it up and running or whatever. But from the developer perspective, from your side of the story, is it just that I'm not going to be in any real hurry because who's even going to have access to that version of Android to begin with?
Well, if you there are two sides of it. Google is making an effort to backport or support some APIs to the support library so we can actually build stuff using those APIs. But all the APIs that are just on the old platform, we don't really get that big of a chance to actually spend time working on them because no one will see them anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So I haven't even looked to the API changes at all because I have other stuff to do, and I guess maybe other independent developers will think the same. But I'll definitely check the changes on the support library because Google has been investing a lot on it. So I guess that's it.
Yeah, kind of do some work to see. I imagine at the very least you get in there and you make sure that what you have is compatible with the new version, doesn't run into any roadblocks. But it sounds like what you're saying is really building in any kind of support for forward kind of future changes that O brings that only O users are going to have access to, maybe less of a rush to do that. Although some developers like to get in there and set themselves apart from other apps by adding in that support early on, so that they're really passionate, like, you know, Pixel.
Yeah, but I remember something right now. If you build, if you target the SDK 26 and you release the app on the Play Store, you have to make changes to make sure your notifications work fine with the notification channels. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing, only a piece of it that needs change, I think, at least that I've checked. So other than that, you probably don't have to change much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is kind of a perfect segue into an article.
I wasn't going to segue yet. Okay, I was actually just going to say that I have yet to install Android O, but I think it's finally time this weekend to do it on the Nexus 6P.
It's a release candidate, so it's about as close as
I feel like
get.
It's finally time mm-hmm. to just do it, jump in there. I mean, I'm reading what everybody's been saying, but I've been standing back cautiously, just waiting until we're just almost there.
I mean, I can show you just as soon as I swipe away a few things in my Google Now. Google Now feed.
Yes.
I can show you just how different this is from any other time I've shown off the beta. And no, I can't really because it's basically the same. I actually just now updated to the release candidate. And I haven't played around very much with this particular version because it just updated, but also because I've been spending my time with the OnePlus 5, which I'll talk about in a few. But I would say if anyone was on the fence as far as like thinking about, you know, upgrading to the beta, now would probably be the safest time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be the safest time because this is basically the final step before the official version, whenever that happens.
It'll
to
still
be
buggy. I imagine it'll still be a little buggy.
Potentially so. Yeah. I mean, but it's going to have it as much ironed out as possible, considering it's a release candidate. This is like right around, you know, right around the corner from a true release. So, if you open the
drawer, you can see there's an interesting change. The navigation bar now has a light mode, as you can see. The buttons are now reversed, yep. The same as the status bar. That's new for the Android O, and I'm pretty excited with that. I know it's minor, but it's a very nice touch.
Well, you know, people sit on different sides of the fence when it comes to light mode versus dark mode, because you also get it in settings, right? They've gone with this white setting backdrop.
But that's cosmetical. The navigation bar change, it's more about accessibility and having some contrast to a white background more than just to change it. That's why it's more important.
Different. Yeah. Okay. Do you generally like the wider themes versus a darker theme?
I think it depends on the app, on the design. Yeah. But having the option to choose light status mode on the status bar and navigation bar, it's good if you want to show those buttons with a light background. Yeah. And it's just better for accessibility and contrast.
Yeah. Nice. Cool stuff. So get to flashing, those of you who are on the fence. It's really easy to do. You just go to the site and opt into the beta, and suddenly you get an OTA pushed and piece of cake.
And speaking of Android O, yes, now we can segue to, did you guys hear about Emoji Compat when Android O was originally announced?
You know what? I feel like it was maybe a little buried because a lot of people are responding
to
this
buried. Little buried
bit of resurgent news, yes. It seems like.
Yes. Well, maybe you guys saw that I wrote a little ditty on Emojipedia about Emoji Compat. But basically, it's good news, and we're telling you about it because we need to rejoice about this. We need to bring together, we need to bring the other corral. We need to rejoice about the fact that in our future, we won't have to see all these empty spaces. Now, Emoji will essentially be treated as a font on Android, on Android O going forward. And this is something that developers can actually enable on their own if they want to show you the latest Android emoji, but maybe you're not running the latest version of Android.
That is a crazy picture. What's going on there?
I am. That's me making a face. But basically what we're seeing here is that if you look very closely, and I will describe this for those of you listening audio, is that there are both Samsung-made and Google-made emoji existing alongside one another. So if your interface that you're running on your phone isn't running the latest version of Android for whatever reason, it'll revert back to those emoji that the system supports while also pulling in the emoji that Google is essentially providing.
So on Android O, if you're running Android O, which has support for this emoji compat 2, you'll see the new ones. If you're on anything older, it knows how to kind of like translate that into an emoji.
It'll pull. You have to, developers have to add a little like piece of code, which will basically like load. From what I understand, it basically loads it as a font. And so that's how it displays it. So it's like going, the way I understand it is like when you go to a web page and it loads like a special font or something so that maybe you don't have it locally installed, but it'll still display.
Okay.
So it's help ease the pain just a tiny bit. I mean, obviously, we have to see what this is going to be like in real life, especially because we've got some phones coming out, one of which we're going to talk about today. And who knows if they're going to be updated in time to be on the same wavelength as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Same version of Android, same emoji, especially because emoji is such an important part of the way that we communicate.
I know it's an important part of the way that you communicate.
It is an important part of the way that I communicate.
I try and try to use more emoji, and I end up defaulting to like the Unicode. Like
I do too for some
thing.
I do too for some, like the winky face. I'm old school. I still stick to the emoticons.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous how easy it is to slip into it. It's at the point now where I'm fully using emojis all the time, both in serious conversations as well as nonsense, you know, just to illustrate something. And I'll admit, like, I was the old man, like, you know, but now they're kind of fun. I see the purpose they serve. It definitely is a different kind of communication. It's a change to linguistics that the phones have introduced, which I think is somewhat fascinating, if not weird. So
welcome to 2012, Ron.
I know, exactly.
Hey, now 2012 didn't have the emoji movie, which 2017 does.
Oh boy.
Starting. Jeez.
I'm a you know what?
Miller.
As a parent, I'm pretty much guaranteed that I'm going to see that at some point.
Can I just add something about the emoji compat?
Absolutely.
I haven't read much about it, but I think that's just an extension of the app support, the support library from Google. So if you're, for example, building a SMS app, you can just include that, and that will include all the emojis that are supported from Android O to whatever lower version you're using. So they stay standard everywhere other than just what you guys were explaining. I think that's more it.
So is that to say that as a developer, you end up embedding kind of the latest sea of emoji to some degree, so that if it's running on a phone that doesn't have access to that updated emoji, it can still pull it from there.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's more on our end than the user.
Okay, and no one likes to see the box with the little X through it. So
no, but I've been seeing that like most of my life, and I'm also a green bubble. So I mean, I'm just.
No, Flo, you are only that if you accept that. Yeah, they're blue bubbles. You know what I mean? Or they're can't receive MMS errors. Come on. Like, let's not let them define us.
Yeah, I like that. They are the blue bubbles. We're not the green bubbles. They're the blue bubbles.
You are the blue bubbles.
Bad? Yeah, blue bubbles cool. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, green bubble. Taking back the green bubble.
Redefining what it means to be green. Let's see here. OnePlus. Okay, so I've been using the OnePlus 5. I took it on vacation. It was my travel buddy, and I spent all of my time taking pictures with it and everything like that. Why am I talking about it in the top news block when normally we would talk about it in hardware? Because apparently the OnePlus 5 had a bug that resulted in the phone rebooting when 911 was dialed. There was a Redditor that posted on Reddit, tried to call two times while he was witnessing a building that was on fire.
Oh,
and both times, the phone just, instead of calling 911, just rebooted out of nowhere.
Oh, man.
Which would be really not a good thing.
I would be freaking out, screaming. Yeah. Like, somebody call the fire department.
That would be so frustrating and so scary.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's the result of a modem memory usage issue that triggered the reboot. Someone from OnePlus confirmed that on a forum. A random occurrence for voiceover LTE users. So there you go. They pushed out, though, very quickly. They pushed out a software update to address this. I got the software update over the weekend. And, I mean, I never had to call 911.
I was going to say, and then you just spent all weekend calling 911.
I was like, I'm going to put this to the test. In fact, let's test it right now. No, let's not do that. but, you know, you have to admit, Ron, that this resets the OnePlus clock that we never made. But.
Does, yeah. No, how many days since the OnePlus One marketing? But the thing is that, like, I mean, this is definitely their fault. This is a bug that should never made it out to production, that sort of thing.
No. It's not their fault.
Why isn't it their fault?
The modem is provided by Qualcomm, and there are reports from other phones that are using that modem that also have that bug. So it's not their fault.
So, but shouldn't they have caught that in their quality assurance before releasing it? I mean, isn't that somewhere down the road? Do you do a 911 test, or do they not even test 911 services?
That was a specific case that probably wasn't in their test bench. And if it's a memory issue, that's probably harder to reproduce like that. Right. So I don't think it's OnePlus's fault. It's more like Qualcomm, because they're the vendor. But... well,
all right.
It's someone's blame anyway. So,
I'm willing to give them a pass on it, because I was going to say this wasn't so much a marketing blunder. It wasn't like post a picture of you calling 911 on Instagram. It wasn't like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hashtag OnePlus911. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't that. Like it just is like Francisco says a weird edge case in the testing that probably is Qualcomm's fault. So maybe we shouldn't be so hard on OnePlus. But man, what a bummer way to find out about it. Someone actually trying to call 911.
So yeah, I know, right?
Are 911 location services different from regular location services? I wonder if that's why there was a sort of like frazzle of the modem. Like, is it a specific connection so that, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe you need to like connect to whatever system is in place from the dispatchers to get your location. Maybe it's a little different than
XDA has a post on this, and they say there that the reboot, this is their words, they say the reboot seems to have only happened when the OTDOA protocol was triggered during an emergency call, and so then that would lead me to wonder what OTDOA.
We're going down a Google hole right now.
I know. Observed time difference of arrival is a positioning feature introduced in LTE radio. And a bunch of numbers and letters. Mm-hmm. So it's possible. I mean, it feels like that's kind of part of what's happening here, is there's some sort of deeper connection happening on the LTE side of things that just didn't jive very well with the OS underneath and reset it. I mean, I've had this happen with apps before where, like, I'll get an app update and then I'll launch an app, and for whatever weird reason, not on the OnePlus 5, but on phones before, where it would just trigger a reset. And who knows exactly why or what, but it's like the streams have been crossed and it's like it short circuits and it starts up again. So
I guess in this case, it's probably a memory over stack right. overflow, or just some memory copy or something that wasn't checked for the addresses or something. So.
But they did the right thing. They issued an update super fast. It addressed the issue and moving on from there.
It's just bizarre, though.
It's unfortunate that.
But it's making me think, too, of like the times I've called 911 to report a drunk driver, for instance, which is unfortunately a common thing here in the Bay Area. It just the way that like my phone, like I'm not allowed to make another phone call for 5 minutes after dialing 911. Like the screen won't lock.
Oh, because they have to keep the line open
I'm wondering like, you know, what goes into play. I don't know. There's all, now I want to go down a Google hole. And
now you want to know more about like the protocol around how they designed for around 911
stuff works. But
yeah. Real quick before we move on, since we are talking about it, OnePlus 5. My thoughts after spending, I would say at this point, a couple of weeks, you spent some time with it. Man, this phone is super fast. Like,
it
I
is.
Feel like the response and on everything, you know, launching apps, everything, maybe not rebooting as much because when you compare it to Android O, it's just different world altogether. But I don't know if it's in my mind that I feel that it has so much memory because it does, but it certainly has a super fast response time on a lot of things that I'm doing, including the fingerprint sensor.
Yes.
The fingerprint sensor, it's like you tap it and the screen is on. I love it. I've spent a lot of time with the dual camera, kind of doing the bokeh shots.
Which it does very well.
The portrait mode. And I gotta say, the more I use it, the more I actually
like it. Did you use it on your kids? Did it look cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a few things that I take more pictures of than my kids. In fact, there's nothing that I take more pictures of than my kids. But basically our family. And yes, I mean, man, you take some of those shots and they don't all work out.
But it's cool.
But the majority of them do. And when you look at them after the fact, you can show that picture to someone, not tell them what they're looking at that's different from a different picture, and they'll go, that's a really good picture, not realizing that it's because the foreground's in focus, the background's blurred out, and it was actually really easy to use. And I also use the zoom a lot. It has the kind of built-in zoom that you can snap into. Use that a lot and really put that to use. But overall, I love it.
I took my SIM out of it and put it back in the GS8 because I need a water-resistant phone for these summer months.
That's a good point.
That can, you know, come with me to the pool or whatever.
I mean, I'm probably going to go back to the Pixel now. So by next week, because it's got Android O on it. So I feel like I need to use that some more. But anyways, I love the OnePlus 5 in my time with it, and I recommend checking it out. I think it's still worth the price, even though the price is more than what they've been charging on some of their other phones.
It's still like $200 less.
Mm-hmm. $300 less than Motorola's phone that we'll talk about in a little bit. But before we do that, let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode, and that's Dollar Shave Club. Love having these guys on board. Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. And, you know, if you have the need to, you know, kind of get yourself, you can get yourself on like a subscription plan where, you know, you shave regularly. You don't want to have to go to the store to always buy new razors or to buy new products or anything like that. That's what the Dollar Shave Club is all about. And they will send you, as you can see on my kit right here, I don't know if you have it, I can take it out of the bag. It's probably more impressive if I take it out of the bag. But they will send you a kit with the razor, the DSC razor, which is what you can see right here, Dollar Shave Club razor. And then you've got the blades in here. Comes with four blades to snap right in. I'll just go ahead, snap that in, pull it out. There you go. Awesome razor. And also the kit includes the shave butter, which is a nice, soft butter that you apply right before shaving, and it does a really great job. You get a great shave at a great price. It's conveniently delivered to your door. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You know, why spend time having to go get this stuff? Just let it come to you. You no longer have to schlep to the store, buy the cheap disposable razor that gives you a cheap shave, or, you know, even spend a fortune on razors that with gimmicky shaving technology, all those bells and whistles that you don't need. And, you know, the DSC Executive Razor, if you want to kind of step up with Dr. Carver's shave butter, the blade just gently glides, gives you a super smooth shave. Their Dr. Carver shave butter is transparent for more precise shave and helps prevent ingrown hairs, plus fight razor bumps. You don't want any of that. And you're not going to get any of that. You too can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. To check it out for yourself and see why it's so awesome. They also have a whole lot of other products. If you go to their site, I have here the Mint Cedarwood Body Cleanser, so you can get clean. You've also got your Smart Hair Paste, a whole line of products. If you go to their site and check it out, dollarshaveclub.com/android. And for a limited time, new members can get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5 and free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month's box, an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, as you see here in a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price. There are no hidden fees, no commitments. You can cancel anytime that you like. And you can only get this offer exclusively at, you want to remember this, dollarshaveclub.com/android. That's dollarshaveclub.com/android. And we thank Dollar Shave Club for their support and welcome them to All About Android. It's great to have you guys on board. All right. We've got a lot of hardware to talk about, so let's do it.
Another modular phone.
Another one.
Another modular phone.
We must ask ourselves, exciting. Do we care?
Is anybody buying these? That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
I want to know who's buying these. But
I love that I'm like the biggest fan of the modular phone, and yet I've yet to put any money down.
Yeah,
I was. I mean, so those of you who didn't check the internet today or this week, whenever you're listening to this podcast, Motorola has revealed the Moto Z2 Force, which is the successor to the Moto Z2 Play. However, it is a nicer package. If you think about it, or at least if you look at the specs, it's got the same shatterproof screen, which has kind of been a Motorola staple for a while now. It's got all the features of the Z2 Play, but it has a Snapdragon 835, which is a little more recent. A dual rear camera setup for depth effects. One's monochrome and one's color. And actually, I believe there's some Huawei phones out there that use this sort of mechanism to compose photos. It also has a smaller battery than some of its predecessors.
Wow.
2,730 milliamp battery pack compared to 3,000 milliamp. But of course, this is a modular phone. So if that really bugs you, well, you could probably go get a power pack. And maybe you can even get one of those fancy ones from last gen on Amazon at a discount price. This phone retails for $730 to $810.
Depending on which carrier you get it at.
Yes. So whatever, I was trying to do the math in my head and then you said it and then I interrupted you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, I think for the most part, I think they're officially saying somewhere around $800, but I saw some places online that, you know, different carriers with their deals and stuff might get a little less expensive. But yeah, I mean, definitely on the upper end.
There's also a 360-degree camera that was announced. It's a mod. It's capable of 4K video and on-device editing. So kind of a lot like what the Gear 360 is for Samsung phones and the Samsung ecosystem. It's also part of a phone-size snap-on case with a built-in battery. So if you do decide that you want to make these 360 videos, well, you don't have to worry about the small battery pack. This one, though, however, will cost you an extra $300, which actually, I mean, if you think about, like, the Gear 360, I believe, was in the $400 range.
Mm-hmm.
I have not Googled what it costs now, but I know last year's cost $400. So
yeah,
it's
right up there.
It's about the same. But still, this is a $700 phone, $750 around there, hovering around there.
Yeah, well, the old model Gear 360 is around $199.
Yeah, and the new one should be...
Yeah, what is the new one? 2017. Is it even out yet? It is out now.
It is out.
Yeah, but I mean, the difference, of course, there, I suppose, is that the 360, you know, works with more phones than just a single phone versus like this modular approach that's very custom to that particular line of Motorola phones. Maybe it's not that much different because does the Gear 360 work with phones that aren't Samsung devices? I don't think it does. I think it only connects to Samsung devices.
The old one only connected to Samsung devices, and I haven't tried to hook up the Gear 360, the new one, to anything else I just kind of use Samsung with Samsung as part of the experience.
Yeah,
so,
it's part of,
I mean,
certainly what they hope.
That's honestly why.
But
regardless, there are other mods, of course, that you can get for the Moto Z2 line of devices, including a gamepad, which people have been showing off today on the internet. It looks, a lot of people are saying it kind of looks like the Switch.
Once it's all popped in there, yeah, it does.
It looks like the Switch when it's all popped in there.
That mod makes a lot of sense to me, to be honest.
That's pretty cool.
I like
that
a lot.
Yeah, I like that one too.
So the question of the day surrounding this phone, this is definitely flagship territory. Francisco, is it a smart idea for Motorola to place so much of their so much of their bets on Moto Mods. Obviously, it was a different direction for them to go. But Ron Amadio from Ars Technica, I was kind of reading his write-up of his hands-on with this. He made a really good point that Motorola had dedicated itself to, I think, 3 years of support, 3 years around its Moto Mods, which in essence locks Motorola, kind of ties their hands to a certain degree in the design of the devices that and kind of keeping up with the trends in the space and not as able to do that. Do you think that was a good gamble for Motorola to make, Francisco? What do you think about the whole modular aspect of this?
Before I go into the modular thing, asking that price for such a device, it's an insult, in my opinion. I guess there are much cheaper options, such as the OnePlus 5 or even the Pixel right now. The chip is a bit older, but the package is so much nicer, plus the software. I feel offended, because Motorola used to be a game changer, not just by price, but also software. And the hardware was good enough. And now they are just deep into Lenovo's mindset and trying to copy Apple here and there. Like, they are proud of having a very thin device. But then you waste that money on the device and you have to invest more into a mod that you will eventually lose or just forget to bring with you when you leave the house, just as you often forget about your smartwatch or smart ring or whatever crap smart thing you have. Mm-hmm. So I think they are just milling everyone. And I just don't care, to be honest, about Motorola anymore after the changes they've been making.
I have to offer, at least this is what I think might be the idea behind the pricing, is that this is going to be subsidized heavily, I think. We're not subsidized. We don't do subsidies anymore in this world. It's going to be kind of pushed very heavily by Verizon. Like, we're going to give you this phone. This phone's going to be free in 2 months as soon as, like, the Note 8 comes out.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the free phone, and they're just gonna give it to everybody at Christmas and go buy one get one free, and we'll send you a bunch of mods, and that's what's gonna happen. So it's
and
okay
then
if
you'll
it's 700
with the old software, old Android, crappy update scheme. I think the only country in the world that still lives by that standard is the US. Nobody here in Europe cares about subsidizing. You just buy the phone and no contracts, no crap, and the updates are fast. Just kill that, please. Stop it.
Well,
if we could, we would.
That's a deeper conversation about differences.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Francisco, you mentioned the update aspects of this, and I was like, God, what has Motorola under Lenovo been?
Yeah.
I looked up the Computer World article, J.R. Raphael, who has not been on in a while. I swear we're going to get him on one of these days, but he's awesome.
I miss him.
He always writes kind of like a report card on updates, which is really handy to check in on from time to time. And the last one I believe he wrote was last February, so I'm sure there will be an update sometime soon. But as of that point, he scored Motorola under Lenovo an F in length of, you know, in updates. Communications super poor, length of time for upgrade, 88 days, if not longer, length of time for upgrade, to reach the current flagship, 88 days, to reach previous gen flagship, still waiting. You just don't know what you're going to get with Motorola. And that's a definitely a big consideration. If you're charging that much for a phone, I think in the Android world, you should have your feet to the fire to really ensure the update aspect of this stuff.
But
at the
it's
very
a
least.
Verizon phone, so it doesn't matter.
Because well,
it's for selling stuff.
Yep.
I mean,
that's the problem.
The people that I know in my life some people have this phone, and they have it because it was the most cost efficient phone to upgrade to, and now they have plenty of more things for Verizon to sell them on.
Mm-hmm.
So extra accessories.
Yeah,
that's how you make that squirrel.
Yeah. If you're buying a phone, now might not be the best time to buy.
Don't buy a phone right now. I don't care just if your phone is falling apart at the seams. Duct tape it and get on with your life, okay?
It's funny that you say that because right around this time, there's a new player on the market that's trying to disrupt things and having a hard time getting it out the door, though.
Yeah.
And so before we go to this update about Essential, can we just take a moment? I don't like to gloat usually when I'm right, but in this particular case, I feel like I called this.
You can have this, Ron.
Thank you. We've been wondering what's going on with Essential, and finally, Andy Rubin himself sent an email to folks who are waiting with an update.
You got an email from Andy? I did too.
Got an email from Andy.
I didn't get an email from Andy.
Andy had something to say in this email. In fact, I think he, I don't know, Brian, is Andy here to tell us what he has to say?
Oh, yeah. We should invite him on.
Shouldn't we?
I forgot to invite Andy on. I apologize. Let me put it in the docs so it's official.
Is he?
Yeah, Andy's hiding somewhere in some folders. Oh, I have to dig him up.
True. Oh, my gosh. Andy didn't get
Brian
the invite to the new TriCaster.
Jump up.
All right, then, if Andy was here, he would say, he would quote his own email and say, you might be getting impatient to get your hands on your new Essential phone, and I'm also impatient to get it to you. But rest assured that you will have a device in your hands in a few weeks.
Okay.
And his reasoning for the cause of the delay was, quote, going through testing and certification with multiple U.S. and international carriers. So it was the certifications that are holding it up. They put the phones through rigorous testing, make sure the electronics are emitting the right things to emit and all that sort of stuff, and that's what's causing the delay. Now the Essential has broken their silence on what the delay is, and we get the vague in a few weeks. But in a few weeks puts us towards the end of August, which is towards the end of the summer, which gets very close to the beginning of the wave of announcements. We're all anxiously awaiting the Pixel 2. I'm sure Apple, there's rumors of the next iPhone. I'm sure there'll be other announcements from other manufacturers. And so it's just going to get more and more difficult at this point for Essential to compete, because you got to imagine they were really hoping this to be the summer of Essential, right, for people to be praising it and talking how great the phone is, and nobody has their hands on it, so they can't do that yet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, Ron, it'll be like 90210 the second season when they start showing it in the summer, and then it really picked up by the fall.
Maybe.
Except that we got nothing in the summer, so there's nothing to...
You're right, there's no Brandon working on at the beach club. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Exactly.
We've got nothing.
So it's unfortunate, but it's starting a hardware startup is hard, and I think they found out why. So,
yeah, they were reminded. I don't know if Andy Rubin ever forgot that it was hard, but man, you just don't open your mouth about a release unless you know for sure it's actually going to happen. Because if that had never been mentioned, the conversation now would be much different. It would be, gosh, I can't wait for the Essential whenever it's going to come out. And now it's late, even though, it just hasn't existed at the timetable that they went public.
Don't make a claim. You can't back up.
If you ain't got that game. Francisco, do you care about Essential? Essential's doing some different stuff here. It's also got the modular thing going for it, but it's Andy Rubin. Does that give you hope?
Sure. I think he knows what he's doing, and he probably has a good team. I like the hardware, and it probably shipped close to stock Android, so that always gives me hope. And we'll see.
Francisco does care.
I'm excited to see what they do.
In this case, Francisco does care.
Stamp.
We need a stamp of approval.
We need a stamp. I think I know something Francisco maybe doesn't care about.
Well, it's possible. He has a Samsung phone.
That's true. You do have a Samsung phone now. Well, this next
tidbit
is also from Samsung. So I know we are just now talking about Bixby Voice because it just launched last week fully. But supposedly Samsung is working on Bluetooth earbuds to be powered by Bixby.
Okay.
So,
Bixby Buds.
Yes, Bixby Buds. If you weren't talking to Bixby enough, now you can talk to it even more. It's voice action capable, features noise blocking technology to help reduce the noise for detecting voice actions. It's expected to be announced during the Note 8 reveal later next month. So that's coming. Hugging face, hugging emoji face. It's coming.
Oh, that's a hugging
yeah,
face.
Yeah, it's a hugging emoji face.
I always wondered. I was like, why are you putting your hand
but
out?
But I just want everybody to know that I use the hugging emoji face as kind of like a spirit fingers sort of motif.
Oh, that's my... We talked about this last week.
Oh, yeah, we did. We talked about this last week.
That's my Fozzie Bear Waka Waka emoji. Hey.
I thought I dreamed it. This is how the days get blurred into one. I think I dream it, but no, it just happened on the show. Well, anyway.
We live our lives
on the show. My Waka Waka sign. And I will say that I would probably use these because I use that little moto. Do you remember the little moto thing that went in your ear?
The little ear puck thing, whatever it was called.
Yeah, and you could like do little voice control with it.
Yeah, it looked just a little too big, I thought. Like, I thought it was
fine for me.
Huh?
It was fine for me.
I don't know.
I want somebody to know that something's in my ear because I don't want people to talk to me.
Yeah, that's true. You do want
don't talk
signal.
To me.
So... Francisco, you are in the Samsung universe. Samsung would love for you to buy all of their extra gears and stuff. I mean, I don't know. Does this speak your language?
Do you care?
To be honest, I'm not a guy that cares about automation that much. Right. So that's probably not for me. Not even the Google Home thing. So
really?
Oh, man, well, I'm about to buy my third one.
Well, we don't have that in Europe anyway.
Okay.
Right. Even if we had it, it's not something that excites me.
Yeah.
But about the Samsung thing, I think it's just stupid by Samsung to waste their time and money on something that no one cares about, that's Bixby. So you know what I think about it.
I got to find somebody who cares about
explain
Bixby.
Myself.
I got to find somebody who cares about Bixby besides me.
Yeah. Well, have you been using it, especially now that it's kind of like official for everyone?
No. I'm still setting up my little automation stuff at home.
Yeah.
So once I get that going, then I really want to test Bixby and see how it works as sort of the controller, because I'm testing stuff with Google Home now.
Right.
I'm just trying to test it in this like supposed native environments that, you know, the companies would essentially put out for me to test.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my next thing is to see how Bixby works with this automation stuff. But you guys, this stuff takes a while to set up. I'm just going to tell you.
I mean, if you had your Bixby earbuds in and it was just kind of listening all the time.
Well, I was imagining I'm walking up to my house. Okay. And it's kind of a dark
Bixby
pathway.
Buds.
And I can just tell the little Bixby headphones, go turn on the light in the living room. It'll turn on the light in the living room, light up the pathway for me so that I can see my front door and stick my key inside without...
You don't need that. You don't need the Bixby buds to do that. You could do that now without them.
Oh, you're right. With a motion controller.
With anything, with Tasker, with the Smart Things app, with any like yes, it's cool that you can do that. That is something that you can do. And if you're baked into the whole Samsung world, but that's not some unbelievable concept that we haven't figured out yet. I mean, there's at least five ways to do it that we just rattled off.
So perhaps the Bixby buds are a little too soon because we're still. I mean, we're still debating the merits of Bixby's existence in our newly artificially intelligence controlled world.
In our artificially intelligent world.
Yeah, thank you.
I just picture Bixby sitting in the playground, wanting friends. Yeah. And all the other the Google assistants over in the corner with their friends
to
and
some
like
bad memories.
Series in the cafeteria with her friends.
Let's not go there.
Bixby's all by himself.
Oh, and now I'm crying.
Okay. At the tetherball court, just Bixby hitting the ball around the pole.
I'm just talking about my elementary school experience. I can't handle that on the show right now. We're live, people.
All right, well, let's talk about a different abandoned technology. The Fairphone 1. You remember the Fairphone? First launched in December 2013, and it's reaching an end to its support. December 2013 in the grand scheme of like normal phones is actually a pretty long time.
I can't believe
supported.
It's been out since then.
But the promise of the Fairphone is that they would offer parts in a. It was crowdfunded initially, but they promised to have device longevity. Responsible sourcing of materials and components to hopefully support for a long, long time. I think at 4 years, you've done a pretty darn good job personally, but apparently suppliers of the majority of its original parts have moved on. They aren't making those things anymore. They had to continue jumping around to kind of like figure out new creative ways to source these parts. And ultimately, it was just a draw on the company. So they had to kind of draw the line in the sand. The company, realizes this next go, because the Fairphone 2 is happening sometime in the near future, that it needs more money up front to purchase those spare parts for surplus so that it can offer support down the line. And of course, the Fairphone 2 is a little bit different. It's going the modular approach, with the idea being that, you know, as things break or get outdated, you can swap them out for the new. But I think, as we've discussed on this show already a few times, modular is a curiosity. I don't know if it's a market driver at this point, so we'll see.
Are we just here to consume?
We are consumers.
We're just consumers. Yeah, we just consume.
Yeah.
It's the American way.
It's kind of what we talk about all the time on the show, actually. depressingly, but
it does get a little depressing, because you're basically, that happens to cars, like after 15 years, like they stop making parts for it or something.
Yeah.
But a phone after 4 years, that was supposed to be the whole point of it.
It's planned obsolescence. Planned obsolescence.
Yeah.
I mean, but in this case, I don't know. I mean, like, that's not the case. I mean, I don't think in this case that it's planned obsolescence, but that's definitely what goes on in general, you know, like that explains it. But in this case, I get this, getting parts and having all the stuff. Like, again, hardware is a hard business. That's why they call it hardware.
Yeah. So, yeah. Or it's a convenient way that ties in.
Yeah. Or it's a convenient out. Yeah, that's true. So, all right. Well, speaking of business, let's pause a moment and thank our next sponsor, who knows a lot about business, because this episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks' all-new version of their cloud accounting software will make running your business easy, fast, and secure. The FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and accounting reports like sales tax summaries and profit and loss, which you really got to keep an eye on that P&L. I'm telling you, it's key. So FreshBooks also has a new time tracking feature that makes it easier to bill for time by client and by specific projects. You can start a timer directly from the FreshBooks mobile app for Android, so you can always have an accurate log of the time you worked. And when it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it. And when you're ready to invoice, you can create a professional-looking invoice on the go. You can send your client an invoice right from their office using the FreshBooks mobile app on your Android device and get paid by the time you get home, hopefully. With FreshBooks Payments, your customer can pay straight from their invoice. Invoicing clients online will help you get paid an average of 11 days faster. It's true. I've actually seen the effects of that. See what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as outstanding invoices. And most great of all, the greatest thing of all, you can say goodbye to paper receipts. Picking up the tab for a client lunch or buying supplies to start a new project? Just snap a picture of the receipt and capture your expense in seconds. FreshBooks is adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. Send invoices to multiple people in an organization by adding them as secondary contacts, and you can add unbilled time to an existing invoice instead of creating a new one. You get a detailed overview of client payments with the new payments collected report. These are all reasons why it's no wonder that FreshBooks was included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. FreshBooks is really a game changer when it comes to running a business. It's fantastic. And now you can try it for free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's go to freshbooks.com/AAA and be sure to enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android and keeping our businesses running smoothly. Thank you, FreshBooks.
Thank you, FreshBooks. Appreciate it. All right. We don't have very much in apps, but we do have one. We don't have much. In fact, we only have one.
We have some emails.
We have some emails. And actually, it didn't make it in here, but I did see that Flexi, which we've talked about on the show many times,
is
finding new life under new ownership. I think it had gone away there for a while, and now it's coming back. So if you're a Flexi keyboard fan, I don't know. When was the last time we installed a replacement keyboard? Do you guys use replacement keyboards?
That's a Ron question, I feel.
No. I've been firmly on Gboard, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Francisco? I feel like years ago it was all the rage. Replacement keyboards were all the rage. Now, maybe less so. Do you agree?
I always used stock keyboards, so. Yeah.
You didn't care.
all the same to me.
Francisco's not impressed by your fancy gimmicky keyboard, okay?
I can understand. I've been a while on Gboard and Google Keyboard before it was called Gboard before that. But yeah, for a long time there, SwiftKey all the way. I just haven't done it. But anyways, if you're a Flexi fan, good news. More stuff coming. But Google did release, Google Research actually launched a new app called Motion Stills. They have a lot of these kind of like photography apps. And this kind of reminded me of Boomerang. I guess it's been out on iOS for a little bit. And so now it's finally to Android.
The Google app's been out on iOS?
Yeah, I think Motion Stills potentially. Maybe I need to look that up to be sure. But essentially, it's a dual purpose photo, like motion GIF app, essentially. So GIF. I've got, how do I describe this? So, okay, this first function is motion still. If I do that and I move around and whatever, you're not going to see it. I don't know how good that's going to be.
Wait, show them what you made.
Oh, yeah. So let's see here. Motion still. Is this the motion still one? I think this is the motion still one. I did this. And you can see, if you see here, I'm going to go out to the original. It's a little shaky. When I go in, I put on the stabilizer. It brings everything in, and it stabilizes the video, and it creates a three-second GIF, which is a very attractive GIF, I might add. It's a really nice one. And then it has another mode, which is fast-forward. So when you record something with fast-forward, looks familiar, doesn't it? You can then speed it up to 2 times, 4 times, or 8 times, or... Hi. Normal.
It's a very fast Jason.
Yeah. And then, of course, this has stabilizer as well, and you can have audio. So it's kind of a single-purpose thing, more or less. There really isn't a whole lot that you can do here. But I like the stabilizer aspect of this. And, you know, you can get, I guess, a little bit creative with this. There you go.
Challenge accepted. I will get creative with it.
I'm sure that you will. If someone can put this to use, I don't know, that looks pretty good.
Yeah. It does. I want to see if it uploads to Instagram stories, though. That's where I'd like to share it.
I'm sure you could. I mean,
can you save it
as an individual file? As a GIF, or I can save it as a video.
Ooh, save it as a video.
Okay.
Or just save it as a, I'm sure if you saved it as a GIF.
A GIF or GIF? All right. And then, yeah, and then you could send it out to any number of people. You could send it out to all of my contacts that you just saw. So there you go. It's called Motion Stills. And, you know, Google every once in a while releases their little apps out there. And you can get on that if you like and make motion-y things.
Looks like you were going through some motion sickness.
Ha! Yeah, I got the sickness. The motion sickness. Float, you're up now. Oh, man. Oh, that song. Dang it. Now it's
you
there.
You sit down with the sickness. I couldn't help it. I had to do it.
I know.
Okay.
All right, Flo. We got a couple of emails. Let's do some emails.
All right. We've got our first email. This is from Lynn. Hey, all. I think the one thing that was missed that has me excited for Nokia is that if they can hold up their end of the updates bargain. I was surprised to hear the Nokia 6 security update dropped before the Google Images did. Okay, it was like by a day or something, but still. I know security updates aren't sexy, but I find them important and always overlooked until something bad happens. True, true. Mm-hmm. But I just want to have hope someone other than the Pixel or slash some flagships will adhere to fast and ideally long-term security updates. Motorola has let me down, as we were just discussing.
Yeah, totally.
OnePlus is a mess. Mm-hmm. Huawei slash Honor slash Xiaomi slash Blue skinned to death or not U.S. available.
Yeah, and I didn't realize when we were talking about this earlier that this email totally fit into it. We probably could have looped it into the conversation at that point. Do we
give that person a prize?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Confirmation. This person cares just as much as you, Francisco. About security
updates. But it's true. It's fair. And that, remember, that was a really big thing for us. I think last summer when we were freaking out about Android security updates, before monthly updates were introduced from the Android security team, we didn't know. We didn't know when things were going to be updated. And then that whole fiasco happened. And then they introduced the monthly security updates. And then Samsung and LG were the first to come forward and say, we will honor this. But, you know, as a year has passed, it still seems like...
It's just it's just as loosey-goosey as it was then. It's
well,
just,
it
they
is
got some good press.
It is here because of all the, you know, all the channels you have to go through just to push an update out.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Really frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And it makes it hard for me to suggest anything but a Google phone to people sometimes.
At this point, it definitely
depends
feels
on,
that way.
Depends on, you know, I mean, it's not that like Galaxy S8 is going to be inherently the most insecure because it didn't get the June update. But, you know, it's just knowing that you're getting these things in a timely manner, that they're coming through from your carrier, that your carrier is actively ensuring that you have things updated on time. I mean, if you're renting a phone from them, which is essentially what they're asking you to do, why aren't they updating us on time?
Yeah. Or even if you're just buying it outright and you're spending close to $1,000, which, by the way, with the Note 8 that has not been released yet, you're probably going to be spending as much as $1,000, if not more, just to get it. Like, I would hope Samsung, at that price point, you would get that.
But the Samsung has been pretty fast with the S8. I'm on the July patch, so, and I've been watching sammobile.com where they list all the firmware updates, and they've been updating the S8 and S8 Plus very quickly every month. So maybe they're trying to change something.
Yeah.
At least on my device, it's updated. So yeah,
that's good. I certainly hope that continues. And I think that's the hard thing to know as a consumer up front when you're spending all this money on a brand, is that how dedicated will they be to that? Not just now, not just to your device that you bought 6 months, you know, what that was at first announced 6 months ago and still is their flagship, but a year to a year and a half down the line when it's yesterday's news.
I don't think people know. I don't think a lot of people know. I mean,
it
I have
always
to tell,
comes back around to that.
I have to tell people, like, well, you need to update your phone. And they're like, I do. There's an update. It gives me better stuff. And I'm like,
or
yes.
When you visit your family and you see their phone and they've got that little update icon there. And like,
mother, how long is it?
I think last year I saw this on my sister's phone. I was like, you need to update. She's like, yeah, that's been there for a really long time. I just don't. Like, because she didn't understand what the purpose or the reason was for it, she was not at all motivated to ever touch
it
and process it. She just got used to it being there. It's like, okay, well, then something's missing here, because that's actually really important. Like, that's security, you know, on your part. That's keeping things updated.
It is. So. Although, to be fair, I never get rid of the little maintenance things in my car. I do my own car maintenance.
All right.
Anyway,
all right, Ron, you got the next one.
That's impressive in its own right. All right, we got another email from Nick, who says, just a question. I'm looking to replace my Nexus 6 and was actually looking at the Zenfone 3 Laser since the price has really come down. The phone looks great for the price except for the 2 gigs of RAM. I'm wondering, in this day and age of Android, if 2 gig will limit me or cause any bottlenecking with normal use of social media and reading news. Not a huge gamer. Thanks for all your help. And Nick, I would really like to tell you that you'll be fine with 2 gig of RAM, but I can't promise you that. You might be. You know, I haven't been on a phone with less than, you know, at least double that in a very long time. So I just don't even know, you know, like even I'm mainly on social media and email and browser. I'm not a big gamer either. And I feel like my phone chugs a little and I've got more than 2 gig. Right. So.
Yeah, I guess it's really hard to know whether 2 gig would limit you. It really depends on your use case and, you know, what you're using the device for, and also how long you plan to have it, because 2 gigs now is a different story than 2 gigs a year from now, and when apps are just used to, you know, managing, dealing with devices that have more resources. 2 gigs seems low to me, and I feel like if you jump in on that now, it's not going to be very long before you start to realize how that kind of, you know, affects the experience.
And what about the Honor 6X?
What's that? Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Francisco, go.
Please don't buy that phone. That's all I have to say.
Why?
Okay, now more serious. I think it's from Asus, right? Is that phone from Asus? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So I think the problem isn't just the 2 gigs of RAM. It's all the crap that they have on their phones. The UI is just destroyed. And they also bundle a lot of crapware too. So all of that just eats RAM. And 2 gigs of RAM with that phone, probably an outdated Android version. Going from a Nexus 6 to that phone, it's going backwards in the long way.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I completely overlooked the fact that he's coming from a Nexus 6. Nexus 6 still hanging tough.
It's still hanging tough.
And then you go to something that's so ramped down, you're going to notice the big difference.
I'll probably try, if I was that person, I don't know the financials, but if I was that person, I would try to get a secondhand Nexus 6P if money is a problem, or a secondhand Pixel, probably, or a OnePlus 3 or 3T. I think that's a much better device for future.
How much is a Zenfone 3? 3 laser?
Or if you only want to pay $200?
$250?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Zenfone 3 laser. Yeah, $200. Yeah,
you can get a brand new Honor 6X that's not like this. It's.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, that's a good direct.
Well, yeah, the UI, again, like Francisco said, the UI is kind of like, but it's EMUI 5.0 now. They updated it.
Yep.
It's got like pretty good battery and a pretty good camera for the price. So it's not bad. It's unlocked.
Yeah.
You can get a Nexus 6X. For that price, and it's 10 times better. Better camera, better everything.
The 6P?
No, the 5X.
Got it. Yeah, I had my issues with 5X, but at any point, I would almost recommend, if you can, get the Nexus or the Pixel, versus compared to some
of these other options. I found a Pixel for around $400 on eBay, but I can't attest to what quality that is because I'm assuming it'll arrive all banged up at your door.
Hey, you'll probably be able to get a current generation Pixel for a lot less once the Pixel 2 is announced. So maybe you wait a couple of months and you get that sucker.
Get a really, really blue one.
There you go. All right. We do have an arena coming up, but before we go there, it's time to thank the sponsor of today's episode. That's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I've been through the mortgage process. It's not the easiest thing in the world. You've got a whole lot of information, a whole lot of stuff that you have to pull from a million different places to set it up. And it's, you know, we spend a lot of our time online. We've seen a million different industries get revolutionized because of technology. And when you take a look at the mortgage experience, it wasn't keeping up with the times. It's dated, needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home, or if you happen to be refinancing your existing home loan, works there too. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. They have trusted partners that allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. That's going to save you countless amounts of time trying to find all that information in a million different places and dig it up. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds based on your income, assets, and credit. Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. And now it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Okay, last week's arena, there were three battling. Yes. I was not here. How'd it go?
I don't know.
Well, the guests are sitting pretty. That's for sure.
Okay, so TV time, TV show tracker, 55% of the votes.
Wow.
That wins. Dave Saves, second place, 33% of the votes. Emojily, create your own emoji, at 13% of the votes.
I thought that would do better, but I get it. I understand. I don't have the chat room open, so I can't read the standings if Wade County has them in the
chat. So Ron is at 79, above all of us. Jason's number 2 at 73 points. Guests are at 73.
Oh.
And I'm dead last, as is the story of my life.
70. But you're super close to both me and guests. We're all in the same region. And
yeah,
Ron,
I suppose.
So, you know, it's a fight for
anything
second.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. As yep. we keep saying. Yeah, get first place, as JJ says. I bet you that number will skyrocket. And we got to push
like
Ron to last
so
place.
It's so easy.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah. Okay, so who was the returning winner then from last week?
The returning winner is Flo. So I came in last. So Flo, the guests are the winner, but we don't want Francisco to go first. Okay. So Flo, so I go first.
You go first. I've
Flo,
got it.
Flo goes last. Yeah. All okay, right. Cool.
I go all right, last.
Well, so we've talked about it every now and then, and I think it's come up, and some people might be aware of it, but you've all heard of AMP, the Accelerated Mobile Pages project from Google, right? Mm-hmm. Which takes web pages and when you load them on your device, formulates them into a more mobile-friendly, accelerated kind of version, right? But a lot of times that strips out stuff from the web page that the story exists on, that the article exists on. A lot of times it strips out comments. It strips out all stuff like that. And sometimes maybe you want that stuff. Maybe you don't want the AMP version, right? Who knows? Mm-hmm. If that's something you struggled with, you'll want to check out this app that's called Deampify, which basically gives you the option of being able to load a web page that is not the AMP version. So it's important to note that when you load it, you get kind of a settings panel, right? And there's a free version that when you download that allows you to enable it and turn it on, as well as manage exceptions for websites that you don't want to turn it on for or whatnot. You can upgrade to the paid version, which will then allow you to add in Tasker implementation and if you use Tasker, which is kind of neat. I don't necessarily think you have to do that, Jason, but you already did it, so good job.
There we go.
All right,
cool. Yep.
So now you can you can use Deampify and Tasker, where you can set up you need Tasker installed. But if you had Tasker installed, you'd be able to link the two. But so now that you've got Deampify running, Jason, if you go back to your home screen and go to the Google search bar and just type in giant score, or just anything that's going to get us some sort of news or something like that. I'm avoiding a large portion of the world because I want to avoid politics. But okay, so scroll down. It's hard to find something that's there. You go. You see that little thing where it says AMP next to 9 hours ago? That is an AMP enabled story or post. If you tap that now, you can choose to open it with Chrome, where it will load as the AMP version, or Deampify, and hit Deampify. And what it will do is it will load this the non AMP version. So if you want to get if you want to access either the comments or other pieces that are no longer available in the AMP version, just to give kind of an example. So this is what the mobile version of this story looks like, the regular web page. Go back, Jason, to the Google search box, right, and open it with Chrome so we can show people what the AMP version looks like. See, so the top nav is gone. Right. And then if we scroll, there are minor subtle changes, but sometimes those changes strip out functionality. And some people don't dig that. I know sometimes I'm trying to get to parts of a web page and the AMP version hides that. And so it's nice to have this kind of back, in my back pocket that allows you to not have to load the AMP version of a post. So there it is. Deampify, free in the Google Play Store or with a in-app purchase of, what was it, $1.99 or?
Let me check my purchase history here. $2.49.
$2.49. So there it is.
You're all welcome, right? Developer.
Deampify.
Yeah, Deampify. There you go. Excellent. Great work.
Excellent.
Okay, so my app is, I think, relatively easy to show off here. It's a Microsoft Research. Is it Microsoft Research, I think? Microsoft. No, it's just a straight-up Microsoft app.
Corporation.
That's a big word, Flo. I don't know if I can say that. So this is called Clip Layer. And basically what this is sometimes you'll be in an app that makes it so that you can't copy the text that's on the screen. And they've created Clip Layer to allow you to copy text in those cases. I think Instagram is one of those things where you try and copy text from a particular post and won't let you select that text or whatever. Mm-hmm. Another way that I'll show here in a second is like my Reddit main screen. I can do it from there. But you can set it up so that I can send to an email. So, it gives me a quick shortcut. I've actually assigned my what would normally be my assistant thing to this. So if I was on a main screen, you can see it has these different text fields that are now highlighted, and I can select the ones that I would want to copy and tap copy. Those layers have now copied to my clipboard for me to paste somewhere. Again, I've assigned my quick launch here that would normally pull up Assistant to show it off, but I think there are other ways that you can do that. I could add it to a task, so I could say send email to AAA@twit.tv should be a task, and because, you know, Wunderlist is a Microsoft property at this point, I could tap task, and if I was logged into Wunderlist, it would add that as a task on my list. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. You could send it as an email. I already showed you that. It would send it directly or share to anyone in my shares list. If I go to Reddit, let's say this is kind of my main Reddit screen, I could do it here and all of this stuff. Normally, you wouldn't be able to copy any of this stuff, but I could go ahead and copy that, 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 and that. And it would just basically copy all the text, and then I could paste that wherever I want, edit it after the fact. It just opens up another world of copy capability. It's hard to say, but there you go. So it's called ClipLayer. It's kind of a straightforward app by Microsoft. Again, they're kind of doing some cool stuff, and I like how they design their products for Android. So there you go. ClipLayer. It's free, and big thanks to Ed, a fan of the show, who sent this to me and made me realize that it existed. So thank you, Ed. All right, Francisco, you just released a new app and I have it installed, and so I'll go ahead and show it off. Tell us a little bit about the kind of the background behind this and what it's all about.
Sure. My app's name is Gratus, which means grateful in Latin. It's basically an app where you can write and post pictures about stuff that you're grateful of or for. Imagine you have a pet that you love so much and you just want to post something with a picture about your cat, for example. And that post will be available in your notification, like a permanent big notification with a picture or a widget. So every time you unlock your phone, you can see something that you're grateful for right there and on your launcher, for example, too, as a widget. There's a bunch of different options too there. You can use the GIFs too. And basically it's as if you were running your own social network, offline social network.
Sorry.
And okay. It's there to motivate you and remember about the things that you're happy about in your life. That's awesome. And if you're feeling down or depressed, or maybe you had a rough day, you unlock your phone and you see that your cat or someone you love on your lock screen. It's just brings you a smile on your face. And I think we, all of us, need some positivity in the world that sometimes it's not very forgiven, or forgivable. So it's a very personal app, something that touches me, and I want everyone to be able to feel it as I felt it when I was working on it. I also have to give a shout out to Virginia Poltrak that made most of the illustrations in the app. For example, when you receive a notification reminding you at the end of the day to write something that you are grateful for, or those candies that you're tapping, she made all those little doodles, and I just loved working with her. And I think all those illustrations give a very personal touch to the app. I think it's just a joy to open it up and see all the different animations and doodles and illustrations. And for example, one of the first reports or feedbacks that I had on the app I sent to someone was that person loved avocados. So he wrote that, "I love avocados." And every time he opened the phone and saw that notification on there, he just had a smile on his face. And yes, that was, I think, was one of the first versions I had on the app. And it just gave me more purpose to keep working on it. And I love it. The ratings are awesome. There are a lot of people that are writing to me, telling me that they needed something like this to feel more energetic and happy about stuff that they often forget. So, and I have more features planned. So I think that's it. I'm sorry. I'm kind of sleepy. That's why I'm stuttering a little bit.
It's okay. You did a great job talking through that, and I realize it's like it's got to be 4 a.m. where you are. So I promise we'll get you off here in a few minutes. 3 a.m. Okay. Okay. No, seriously.
I tried my best.
Francisco is thankful for the sleep that he's losing tonight. I will admit, when I saw this got announced, I did a double take. I'm like, Francisco put this out? And I was pleasantly surprised. I like the love aspect of the app. And, yeah. So good job, Francisco.
Yeah, it's cool. And you can set up the kind of the notification frequency as far as how, you know, at what time you're alerted, how often a new kind of thing to be grateful for appears in your notifications as I'm getting up there. Grateful for the time I get to spend with my family. I also have beer in there because I'm very grateful for beer.
You see the likes, the hearts. If you keep tapping on them, you can keep increasing them, and they affect the algorithm that will choose which picture of which post will show up on your notification or widget. So the more likes you have on your own posts, the more often those will appear there and in the notification.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know I didn't write about it. I think it's just something that's delightful. And you will, without knowing, see those posts more often. And that will bring you more often to the app to just read old posts from yourself or see someone you love or some food you like. Just keep liking on them and they'll keep appearing more often than the others.
Nice. So that is it gratis or gratis?
Well, in Portuguese, you can say gratus, but that's harsh to say in English. So I'd say gratus, maybe.
All right, awesome. And that is free. There's a free version. There's also $2.99 upgrade, which is what I'm running.
Support your devs.
That's right. You know it. Awesome stuff, man. Thank you for bringing that on. And I completely agree. We need more reasons to be grateful for everything that we actually have, because there's a lot of reasons every day for us to feel negative about this, that, whatever. There's actually a lot of good stuff happening too. So
agreed. Yep.
Good opportunity to remind ourselves of that. Flo, what you got?
You know what I'm grateful for?
What?
Is my big comfy bed at home.
Uh-huh.
End of the day.
I think Francisco's probably grateful for his comfy bed too.
Oh, sorry, Francisco. I'm being such a jerk right now. Well, my app today is called Sleep Down. And it's kind of a little bit like an app that you brought to the show, actually, Jason Howell.
Oh, okay.
Now, remember that app that you brought to the show called Forest?
Uh-huh, yes.
I started using that app for my own like productivity. And then this app showed up in my, these are apps that we suggest that you should use, whatever, on Google Play. And so I downloaded it just for the fun of it, because I really need something to keep me accountable. I need to be in bed by 11 p.m. I need to stop being downstairs at 11 p.m. and still watching TV. It's easy to be there.
Yeah.
But I need to be in bed. So the idea of this is that you set a start time for when you're supposed to be sleeping. So I set mine to 11. So the idea is that by 10:30, that's when I start thinking about, okay, time to go do my routine, what I need to do so I can go to bed, so I can be up by the time that I want to be up. If I don't open this app before 11 o'clock tonight, it will not let me build a house. What this basically does is you turn it on before you go to bed. You turn off the screen and you leave it down, and you can't pick up the phone until you wake up in the morning, until you set this alarm here, because what that will do is that'll destroy the house that's currently being constructed. So essentially, if you follow your sleep rules that you've set for yourself, you can build a nice suburb for yourself where you could eventually maybe install a couple of McDonald's, Taco Bell's, but just kidding, none of that is in this app. But I want you to imagine, this is a suburb you're building, okay? People want to raise their children here and feed them Happy Meals. So you have to make this happen. But the only way for you to make this happen is, and see, the thing is, it's not very dynamic for the show because I can't do anything right now. But at night, this will let me build a little city that you can then, this kind of has the same motif as Forest.
Yeah, totally.
But that's the little house that I built last night from sleeping.
Yeah, you were busy
so
building your house
last night. I went to bed at 10:52 last night, woke up at 7 a.m. this morning. So
you're really buzzing logs while you snooze, weren't you?
Sawing logs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sawing logs, that's what it is.
thing to know is that you will have to pay 99 cents for full functionality of this app. Otherwise, you can't actually save the houses that you were building overnight. But like I say, support your developer. You can test it out to see if it's something that you actually want to use. So you could test it out for a couple nights before you commit to paying the 99 cents. Or maybe you need to save up a couple more Google survey points to purchase that. After you've reached 7 days, you get tickets, and then you can turn those tickets in to get different kind of houses, different kind of packs. There's stats for you. You can back up your information and save it for later. You have a little buildex. So there's different buildings for you to look forward to sleeping and unlocking. So, yeah.
Nice.
Sleep Town.
Sleep Town.
Sorry for the glare, y'all.
It's time for Sleep Town.
Get some sleep.
Yeah, such a good reminder. Well, I spend so much time at late at night going, ooh, thumb.
Yes, because
things.
I'll sit in bed and I'll just thumb through for no reason. And my husband, I mean, what are we doing with ourselves, ladies and gentlemen?
It's just not worth it. And then
You wake
blink.
Up like crap the next morning.
Yeah, you blink and it's like half an hour's passed by. You're like, really? I could have just slept more. So there you go.
Yeah.
Good. We're changing you. We're changing your habits on today's All About Android.
Well, technology has ruined us, so now we have to
We have to use technology to improve us now. All right. So twit.to/AAApoll327 is where you go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. twit.to/AAApoll327 is your favorite app. DeAmplify, ClipLayer, Gratis, or Sleep Town.
Yay! Brian wants to sleep well.
Wants to sleep well.
Yeah, I have that exact same problem, Flo. So
you know why,
like,
Brian?
Idea.
It's because I'm checking your Snapchat at 10:30 instead of trying to go to bed so I can catch up on what's going on with your pup.
That might be a problem for both of your significant others.
Oh, totally. The only spin I'd like to put on it, instead of a house, like, it should be a Tamagotchi or something. Like, you pick up the phone and it kills the critter, the little creature or something like that.
Oh, you might be onto something.
We need
there.
To make an app, Brian. We need to do this.
That's good. Sleep or the dog dies.
It's the whole point of the app is don't let me pick it up. Yeah. Not pick up the phone.
Love it. Francisco Franco, it's a pleasure bringing you on once again. We'll have to have you back soon, but only once you've recovered from sleep deprivation, because I'm really sorry that you're up this late.
Sorry.
That's okay. I used to.
I know. I'm sure that you are, but we really do appreciate that you're taking the time out to do this, and it's great to have you back. And congratulations on the new app. I hope everything goes really well with that and future stuff, because I'm sure you're working on new ideas and stuff all the time. You seem to be very busy.
Right now, I'm taking a small break from new ideas.
All right, good.
Well deserved.
Yeah, you need that as well. Francisco, where Thank can you. People follow you online?
Google+, Twitter, I think. Google+, just Google me. Right. You'll find me.
All right, look for Francisco Franco. You can find Francisco of _1990 on Twitter if you want to get right to Francisco's Twitter feed. But again, we really appreciate it. Thank you, and we will have you back soon. Maybe we'll send you some sleep deprivation medication to help out. I don't know. Actually, no. I can't promise you that we'll do
it. You can give me some a package from Dollar Shave Club, because I need a shave. So maybe next time you can give me one.
There you go.
All right, there we go. All right, it's a deal.
And then you can bill us with FreshBooks.
Well, we can keep going, folks. Ron, what about you? What's going on?
Well, when I'm looking for a house, I go to Rocket Mortgage. No, I am currently in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I'm playing in a very big pinball tournament. Nice. So follow me on Twitter at RonXO on Thursday and Friday. You'll probably see some anguished, oh my God, I suck tweets. So that'll be fun. Okay. But I'll be back in New York next week and back in the regular schedule program. I apologize for the lighting. But in the meantime, follow me on Twitter at RonXO. Go to ifanboy.com for my comic book podcast. Go to Damn Fine Podcast for my podcast with Tom Merritt, where we're talking about Twin Peaks. And I think that's it for now.
Yeah. So. Good luck at the competition.
Thank you. I will need it.
I thought of you while I was in Boise. I was introduced to a place called Grinker's, and it's an old school 80s style arcade. Cool. Total dungeon. You walk in there, there are like 200-250 arcade machines, and you know that sound, all the games are 80s and early 90s, and it was like taking a step back in time.
Well, that's where I'm here in Pittsburgh for the Replay FX kind of convention. The Pittsburgh Convention Center will be filled with 80s and retro video games and all that sort of stuff. And then half of the convention center has got, I think, about close to 800 pinball machines where the tournament is going on.
Yeah, that's
where there are 800 competitors in it. It's the biggest pinball tournament in the world. So we'll see how I do.
Wow.
So.
Well, good luck.
Break a leg, Ron.
Yeah, break
Thank you. I will need it.
Break a finger or something.
Close to $100,000 in prizes for the tournament, so it should be – it's interesting.
Ron might take us out to dinner.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I won't.
What about you? What about you, Flo?
Well, you can find me on the internet at florenceion.com, where someday I will install a CMS and actually write about the stuff that I'm writing. But if you can't find me on the internet, well, find me at twitter.com at @ohthatflo or on Snapchat at @ohthatflo. And also now I'm on Wednesdays. I'm on Wednesdays. Actually, I guess Thursdays or Fridays. I don't know. The Material Podcast is on weekly. And I am also a co-host there on the Relay FM network. So please join us there if you need more Google Talk after this show. Google me. That's how you'll find where I'm writing, because I'm still finding places to write.
Yeah. So. Congratulations on Material, by the way. That's
Thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah, you bet. What about you, Brian?
Well, when Ron's not busy stealing my camera shots like this, the darkness, Ron.
Oh, you mean this?
Exactly. Damn you, Ron. You know, I do Know-How every week. Padre's been gone for a while now, so I've got some project ideas building up, but I haven't done anything yet, but I've been doing some segments, so, check out Screensavers this weekend. Think this week I'm doing action cameras, so if you ever got an action camera and you wanted to know like best places to mount it and stuff like that, I'll show you how. Maybe maybe if you have a motorcycle, it would help, but otherwise you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Radical. Thank you, Brian, appreciate it. You can find me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com, and you know, I also do tech news today here on the Twit Network and occasionally new Screensavers. All sorts of stuff. We're all over the place. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for watching. As always, voicemail 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us email AAA@twit.tv or make it a video mail. Just add a link to the video in there. Find us on Twitter. We are @AndroidShow. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. If you want to post stories there, we pull from there from time to time. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on Pocket Cast, YouTube, iTunes, podcast aggregator, 12345, whatever you use, you're probably going to find us there. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.